We're delighted that you've joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those with a computer, the web address is csinteractivechurch.org. Within the turquoise box on the home page, click on the first link, which provides the order of service and links to the words of the hymns and other information. During the meeting, we will mute everyone's phone to help eliminate background noises, thereby enabling a clearer connection. Later in the meeting, if you'd like to share a testimony, simply press star 2 and your phone will be unmuted. Only the readings portion of this meeting will be recorded, so that individuals around the world may have the opportunity of listening at their convenience. Let's begin our service by singing together hymn number 45. And I shall read all of the verses before we join in song. And a reminder that the link to the words of this hymn can be found on the Order of Service webpage. Dear God, how glorious is thy name through all the earth and sea and sky. the wondrous heavens, thy handiwork, the moon and stars hast thou ordained. Such tender beauty, Lord, from thee is shed abroad o'er all the earth, in bird, in sunbeam, light and flower, thy grace and goodness may be seen. For this thy gift unspeakable, the beauty of love's holiness, we lift our hearts in grateful song and would be always praising thee. Number 45. Again, welcome to this healing service at csinteractivechurch.org. The topic of the readings for this Wednesday meeting is Thy Work is Perfect and Thy Work is Finished. And the hymns are numbers 45, 421, and 452. I shall be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible, Ecclesiastes. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it, that men should fear before him. Psalms. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters, the God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Thou visitest the earth and waterest it. Thou greatly enrichest it with the river of God, which is full of water. Thou preparest them corn when thou hast so provided for it. Thou waterest the ridges thereof abundantly. Thou settlest the furrows thereof. Thou makest it soft with showers. Thou blessest the springing thereof. Thou crownest the year with thy goodness, and thy paths drop fatness. 1 Kings. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. She said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Matthew. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart, give ye them to eat. They say unto him, We have but here 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, Bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Colossians. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And from Science and Health, the Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The infinite has no beginning. This word, beginning, is employed to signify the only, that is, the eternal verity and unity of God and man, including the universe. The creative principle, life, truth, and love is God. The universe reflects God. There is but one creator and one creation. This creation consists of the unfolding of spiritual ideas and their identities, which are embraced in the infinite mind and forever reflected. Genesis 1:5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. All questions as to the divine creation being both spiritual and material are answered in this passage. For though solar beams are not yet included in the record of creation, still there is light. This light is not from the sun, nor from volcanic flames, but it is the revelation of truth and of spiritual ideas. This also shows that there is no place where God's light is not seen, since truth, life, and love fill immensity and are ever-present. Was not this a revelation instead of a creation? The successive appearing of God's ideas is represented as taking place on so many evenings and mornings. Words which indicate, in the absence of solar time, spiritually clearer views of Him, views which are not implied by material darkness and dawn. Here we have the explanation of another passage of Scripture, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years. The rays of infinite truth, when gathered into the focus of ideas, bring light instantaneously, whereas a thousand years of human doctrines, hypotheses, and vague conjectures emit no such effulgence. Genesis 2:4-5. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God, Jehovah, made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God, Jehovah, had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Here is the emphatic declaration that God creates all through mind, not through matter, that the plant grows not because of seed or soil, but because growth is the eternal mandate of mind. Mortal thought drops into the ground, but the immortal creating thought is from above, not from beneath. Because mind makes all, there is nothing left to be made by a lower power. Spirit acts through the science of mind, never causing man to till the ground, but making him superior to the soil. Knowledge of this lifts man above the sod and its environments to conscious spiritual harmony and eternal being. immortal and divine mind presents the idea of God first in light, second in reflection, third in spiritual and immortal forms of beauty and goodness. But this mind creates no element nor symbol of discord and decay. God creates neither erring thought, mutable mortal life, mutable truth, nor variable love. The universe of spirit reflects the creative power of the divine principle, or life, which reproduces the multitudinous forms of mind and governs the multiplication of the compound idea man. The tree and herb do not yield fruit because of any propagating power of their own, but because they reflect the mind, which includes all. Spirit blesses the multiplication of its own pure and perfect ideas. From the infinite elements of the one mind emanate all form, color, quality, and quantity, and these are mental, both primarily and secondarily. Their spiritual nature is discerned only through the spiritual senses. We cannot deny that life is self-sustained, and we should never deny the everlasting harmony of soul, simply because to the mortal senses there is seeming discord. It is our ignorance of God, the divine principle, which produces apparent discord, and the right understanding of Him restores harmony. There can be but one Creator who has created all. Whatever seems to be a new creation is but the discovery of some distant idea of truth, else it is a new multiplication or self-division of mortal thought, as when some finite sense peers from its cloister with amazement and attempts to pattern the infinite. The multiplication of a human and mortal sense of persons and things is not creation. A sensual thought, like an atom of dust thrown into the face of spiritual immensity, is dense blindness instead of a scientific, eternal consciousness of creation. The fading forms of matter, the mortal body and material earth, are the fleeting concepts of the human mind. They have their day before the permanent facts and their perfection in spirit appear. The crude creations of mortal thought must finally give place to the glorious forms which we sometimes behold in the camera of divine mind, when the mental picture is spiritual and eternal. Mortals must look beyond fading, finite forms if they would gain the true sense of things. Where shall the gaze rest but in the unsearchable realm of mind? We must look where we would walk, and we must act as possessing all power from Him in whom we have our being. Creation is ever appearing and must ever continue to appear from the nature of its inexhaustible source. Mortal sense inverts this appearing and calls ideas material. Thus misinterpreted, the divine idea seems to fall to the level of a human or material belief called mortal man. But the seed is in itself only as the divine mind is all and reproduces all. as mind is the multiplier, and mind's infinite idea, man and the universe, is the product. The only intelligence or substance of a thought, a seed or a flower, is God, the creator of it. Matter is neither intelligent nor creative. The tree is not the author of itself. If seed is necessary to produce wheat, and wheat to produce flour, or if one animal can originate another, how then can we account for their primal origin? How were the loaves and fishes multiplied on the shores of Galilee? And that too, without meal or monad from which loaf or fish could come. In divine science, man is sustained by God, the divine principle of being. The earth, at God's command, brings world food for man's use. Knowing this, Jesus once said, "Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink," presuming not on the prerogative of his creator, but recognizing God, the father and mother of all, as able to feed and clothe man as he doth the lilies. Jesus beheld in science the perfect man, who appeared to him where sinning mortal man appears to mortals. In this perfect man, the Saviour saw God's own likeness, and this correct view of man healed the sick. Thus Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is intact, universal, and that man is pure and holy. In the first chapter of Genesis, we read, "And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas." In the Apocalypse, it is written, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." In St. John's vision, heaven and earth stand for spiritual ideals, and the sea is a symbol of tempest-tossed human concepts advancing and receding, is represented as having passed away. As mortals gain more correct views of God and man, multitudinous objects of creation, which before were invisible, will become visible. When we realize that life is spirit, never in nor of matter, this understanding will expand into self-completeness, finding all in God, good, and needing no other consciousness. This concludes the readings.